Every breath I find your grace. In the rhythm of life, your majesty shines in every place. In the rhythm of life, your majesty shines in every place. Recognition of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Recognition of Allah Almighty We're discussing the foremost right of Allah which is to attain His ma'rifah And in this regard, we were discussing those blessed sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are used to attain the ma'rifah of Allah. Meaning, when we look at the atharat, the manifestations, the signs of those sifat all around us, this brings us closer to our Lord. This gives us a greater awareness of our Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal. And we're going to continue with those sifat which are linked to the blessed knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this episode, we're going to discuss the sifa al-hakim, the all-wise. This is a sifa, an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom is endless, is infinite, is limitless. It's unrestricted. And every single action of the divine, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is filled with wisdom. Whether we know that wisdom or not, it's filled with wisdom. Now, in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this sifa of His, Al-Hakim, numerous times. So, for example, He Jalla wa Ala says, تَنْزِيلٌ مِّنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ That it is a revelation from the All-Wise, the Praiseworthy One. So, Hakim has been used in this verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, تَنْزِيلٌ مِّنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ And whenever we refer to Al-Quran Al-Kareem, we do refer to it using various sifat. So Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Al-Quran Al-Majid, Al-Quran Al-Hakim. We say that Allah has mentioned in Al-Quran Al-Hakim. So every single hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single ayah of the Quran is filled with wisdom. And Al-Quran Al-Kareem is that book which opens the wisdoms behind the universe. And it explains those wisdoms. And the wisdoms behind the creation, behind the universe, so vast, Allahu Akbar, that if you were to try and extract those wisdoms, you know, our intellects would not be able to fully extract them. Why? Because the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is la mutanahi, it's limitless. And our intellects are limited, mutanahi. Our intellects are restricted. So despite vast resources being spent to unearth those wisdoms, those mysteries, we still haven't reached even a tiny percentage. People are discovering black holes now. Scientists are experimenting on fulan thing. But will they ever get to the depths of it? No, because insan cannot. But what it can unearth and what it can discover is sufficient in telling us that Allah is all-wise. Allah is all-powerful. Allahu Akbar. This is why we use our intellects to ponder and reflect upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wisdoms behind the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just look at the heavens. Look at the countless stars in the heavens and millions of stars, billions of stars. One thing that we should ponder upon is these stars align, there's constellations, and there's galaxies, then there's Milky Ways, all sorts. These terminologies are studied in science. So the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very vast. It's created according to His hikmah, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when we look at these stars, we look at the universe, they are running according to a set system. That system is ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a perfect system. And they're moving in accordance to that system. And even science attests to this, that if anything were out of sync, if anything were a bit different, then you wouldn't have life. It would be chaos. Things would crash into each other. Now, if two stars even collide with each other, the whole system of the world and the universe would fail, would be destroyed. The whole world would be destroyed. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of everything, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-powerful, because He has ordained how the world, the universe, the galaxies, all of these things run, then everything is in perfect order. This is why we have life. Life is sustained. Blessings are all around us. This is why we are able to take pleasure from this life. This is the work of Al-Hakim, the All-Wise, Allahu Akbar. And When Allah does will for that to occur, meaning for the world to perish, then it will happen. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the skies splitting open and the stars falling and the seas crashing and the seas bursting. So this nizam is run by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for as long as He wills. And when He wills for it to perish, it will perish. Never a second before that, never a second later. Exactly when Allah ta'ala ordains it and wills for it to happen. So He is in control of everything. And He is Al-Hakim, He is the All-Wise. So even despite the discoveries of science, people who have researched, they have not even uncovered 100,000s, you could say, just to explain, even 100,000s of the mysteries of the world. The wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind the creation. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Now there are certain things that Allah ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, the reason for their creation. So for example, life and death itself. Why were we created? And as Muslims, we will say, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created death and life so that He may test you to see which one is better in terms of good actions. Which one from you is better in doing good deeds? Allah ta'ala knows. He knows about all of this. But it's to make us aware who is better amongst us. And what is the criteria? Taqwa, pious deeds, good actions, staying away from sins. So this is the hikmah, this is the wisdom behind life. And we know the dunya is darul imtihan. This is the world of tribulation or test. We're tested here. And the akhirah is darul jaza. That's where a person will be recompensed, rewarded or punished. That is darul jaza. And where's the test taking place? Right now on earth. Right now in our lives. So as Muslims, when we know that this is the goal of life, to do good deeds, and we have a purpose behind our living in this dunya, then this helps us. How? When a person is overcome and overwhelmed with problems in life, calamities in life, then he takes comfort in the fact that Allah Ta'ala is testing him. Is he going to show patience? Is he going to earn reward? Or is he going to lament? Is he going to complain? Ma'adallah. So he adopts the right way, which is to obey Allah and be patient. Adopt the way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophets were tested in the greatest manner. They came through those tests. They were rewarded because of the patience they showed upon those tests. Allah Ta'ala blessed them further. But what about us? The moment a calamity strikes, the moment we have an issue regarding our livelihood, our health, wealth, whatever, we start to worry, we start to stress. We think, oh, how come so-and-so is living in ease? How come so-and-so has been blessed? Look at me, I'm miserable, I'm this, I'm that. Allahu Akbar. This is a test. We have to go through those tests. Allah Ta'ala is testing a person. How will that person react? That will be used for him or against him. Simple. And this is the way of Allah that He tests. He tested the Anbiya alayhi wasalam. He says in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. And you remember when his Lord tested Ibrahim with some kalimat, فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ, and he completed them. So Anbiya alayhi wasalam, beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those with proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were tested in the dunya. And us, normal people, who are not Anbiya, we are sinful people, we fall short time and time again in worshipping Allah, in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We misuse this amana that we have, this body, our hands, our eyes, our feet walk towards sin, our ears listen to sin, all sorts of things. And then one could say we have the audacity to complain and say, why this? Allahu Akbar. Many a times, it's because of our own actions. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about calamities and whatever afflictions a person faces, it's because of what his hands have earned. This is, generally speaking, this is the reason. Other times it may be to elevate that person's rank. There's many wisdoms behind why a person goes through trial. And when we show sabr, patience, when we are happy with the will of Allah, whatever Allah has decreed for us, we're content with that, then this is a clear sign that we are passing that test, that tribulation, with flying colors. Allah Ta'ala tells us in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, He speaks about the nafs, and He speaks about purifying the nafs, the ego. The ego entices one towards sin. We have two options, either we choose the right way or the wrong way. And our nafs ammara, the enticing soul, this makes one sin, makes one choose that path which is momentary pleasure. But continual regret afterwards, remorse afterwards, the sin remains. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the ego. He says, by the ego, by the nafs, and by the one who rectified it, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the nafs with its transgression and its piety, meaning Allah has given that capability. The nafs chooses pious actions, then its nafs mutmainna, contented soul. If it chooses evil actions, nafs ammara. So Allah has inspired the nafs to these two options, good and bad. Depends on us what we choose. And the one who chooses the right path, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Allah Ta'ala says, the one who purified the nafs is the one who has succeeded. As for the one who sullied his nafs, tainted it, made it impure by doing wrongful actions, then وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. That person has failed. That person, he has become unsuccessful. So Allah Ta'ala has given us options. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. There are two paths. Allah Ta'ala guided a person to two paths. Either he chooses the path of guidance or the path of misguidance. This is up to us. The dunya that we live in, this temporal world, this is our goal in life, to follow the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow the path that leads to success. Now, sometimes we think about disbelievers, they don't even believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we think, look how much they've progressed. In every field, they're ahead of Muslims. And we become disheartened. We lose heart. Say in work, in terms of business, in terms of trade, in terms of science, in terms of education. This is all we speak about. But what we should remember is, okay, we admit this, that people who are not Muslims, in many things they're ahead of Muslims. Muslims lag. But this is not the criteria for haqq and batil, for truth and falsehood. In fact, this shows that Allah has made the dunya wasi' vast for the non-Muslims. And they're drowned in it, they're engrossed in it, to their own detriment. Because in the akhirah, they'll be asked about all of these things. Despite being immersed in the bounties of Allah, why did you not believe in Allah? And they will have no reason then. They will not be able to give any excuse. As for Muslims, Allah Ta'ala has, generally speaking, has protected them from the dunya. There are many people who have strong iman, but they're not that wealthy. Maybe not even that educated. But their iman billah is the strongest you could find. And this reminds me of a hadith the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about. بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا. That Islam began as something strange, and it will return to being something strange. There's various interpretations of this, but one interpretation is that Islam in the initial stages was supported by people who were not well off. غَرِيب, meaning they were poverty stricken. And throughout the ages, when you look at those people who wholeheartedly, sincerely support the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many a times you will see it's not people who are multimillionaires. It's people who are hand to mouth, or living paycheck to paycheck, or they don't have much. But their jazbah, their passion for serving the deen, Allahu Akbar, is admirable. And it's something that we should try and emulate. And it will return to that as well. People, when they have wealth, what happens? This is a test. They pray for wealth. And when they get wealth, they lose their mind. How many times have we seen it before? A person gained wealth, he was living moderately. He would go to the masjid. You'd see him in the masjid regularly. He would perform his dhikr, adhkar, recite al-Quran, al-Kareem. And as soon as Allah Ta'ala has blessed him, something that he was adamant about, Ya Allah, give me, give me, give me. When he's given it, Allahu Akbar, you don't see him in the masjid. Dhikr and adhkar, stopped. Recitation of the Quran, very rarely. And that wealth, apart from taking one away from these good practices that he was habitual in, now give him some sort of power. When we say some sort of power, we mean he has options again, whether to use that wealth to do good or bad. And what happens most of the time, we see people, Allahu Akbar, the money begins to control their hearts and minds. They end up spending on alcohol. They spend on illicit relations. They spend on wrongful things. Again, they'll be asked about all of these things. So this is not the mi'yar. The mi'yar is belief in Allah, wholehearted belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't become disheartened when we see these things all around us. So what we learn from this as well is that the dunya is not to merely enjoy ourselves. Nobody's saying live like a monk, recluse. You have a nice life. There's nothing wrong with that. As they say, have the money in your hand, not in your heart. So you live in this dunya. It's alamul asbab. You carry out the affairs of the dunya, but you don't become overly engrossed in the dunya to the detriment of your deen. You become a ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does the Quran say? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wala awladukum an dhikrillah. O believers, Allah addressing the believers directly is saying, do not let your wealth or your offspring distract you from the dhikr of Allah. And it happens many a times. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that? He knows the nature of insan. He knows that insan become very ghafil, heedless and negligent when they have wealth, when they have children, offspring. They forget about servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa ma sha Allah. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever allows that to happen, meaning whoever does that, meaning is busy in his wealth, in his children, to such an extent that he is neglectful of the duties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights that he owes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, surely he is in loss. These people are in loss. And this is what we need to realize, that Islam is our deen. We act upon it wholeheartedly. We give it precedence over everything else. Everything else comes later. We're true Muslims. We're sincere Muslims. We are staunch Muslims. We are orthodox Muslims. We're not of those who say, oh, confine religion to your homes only when you leave the home. Or the dunya is different. There's different rules. And now we must compromise at every step. And even if it means, ma'azallah, going against the principles of the deen, the teachings of the deen. You know, everyone lies at the workplace. Everyone does this. There's so much deceit. If we're not deceitful, we won't survive. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is liberalism. This is secularism. This is not Islam. Islam is, you believe Allah is sovereign wherever you are, in your homes, outside your homes, at the workplace, whichever situation you find in, you will not act in a way that is in a disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will always act in a way which is compliant with Sharia, which is in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So this was an episode where we discussed Al-Hakim, and we're going to continue this in the coming episode as well. Know that Allah ta'ala's actions are full of wisdom. No action of Allah is devoid of wisdom. Whether we understand the wisdom or not, that's a different matter. We have intellects that are limited. We should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes, our hearts, our minds to see the truth and to see the signs of Allah's manifestations all around us. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In every breath I find your grace. In the rhythm of life your majesty shines in every place. In the rhythm of life your majesty shines in every place. Recognition of Allah.